comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at the show. And, you know, I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. And I hope you're here because you have a right to know and you want to know. And this is a place to get a lot of very, very interesting information. We have coming up in April Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Be sure you get your ticket. I got an email from one of our listeners who was telling me about a conference that will be happening within driving distance to her home. She could drive to this conference. But tickets for 2 days, I think it was $199 for 1 day, $99, something like that. Anyway, then on top of that, gas and at $4.50 per gallon, and then paying parking fees and meals and so forth. So even if you don't have to fly there, even if you don't have to go rent a hotel room there, it's still very, very expensive. $10 for the Alternative Universe Eye Conference, and the link is on my website. So just get over to KevinSmithShow.com and click that link. You can't miss it. I mean, if you can miss that, you need glasses. It's about 4 feet tall. It's big. I speak in hyperbole, of course, but it is big. We also have coming up, absolutely free of charge to our members in the members community, a seminar called Mars, the Fading Fog. It's not in April. It's coming up within days. So if you're not a member, you need to join. Joining is exorbitantly expensive. It comes out to 25 cents a day. Hey, I'm not kidding. 25 cents a day. That's less than you paid for your school lunch in the second grade. You get the limo ride for lemonade prices. So join, okay? And just click where it says join. It's up there on the menu. It's a big link. You can't miss that either. Also, let me remind you that we have absolutely free to everybody, in addition to the fact that you can listen to this show worldwide free of charge, you don't have to be a member. Of course, if you are a member, you get the limousine ride, you get lots and lots of other stuff, but you can listen to the show absolutely free of charge, and you can subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files. Been publishing that since we started the show back in 2000. We still have people subscribed to The K-Files right now who subscribed way back then. And that must mean it's a pretty good publication. It's free of charge. So if you haven't subscribed, be sure you do that. Subscribe, and then you'll start getting The K-Files. Okay? Also, those of you that I sent a K-Files to last week who had not confirmed or activated your subscription, that's your one shot at it. If you don't do that, we're going to remove you from the list. It's not a threat, but we have to do that to make sure we don't spam anybody. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We've got something really special for you tonight, and I think you're really going to be fascinated. Before I bring our surprise guest on, let me say, that the faceplate on tonight's show says that we're going to be talking tonight about the president and aliens. Now, you see, there are some folks who, although they have been listening to the Kevin Smith Show, some of them for quite some time, maybe several years, still haven't quite broken with and have not unplugged from dough brain mushroom thinking. And so they're thinking right now, oh, geez, this is going to be one of those political shows. How many times have you known me to do a political show? I don't talk about politics. Politics is all about Republicans and Democrats and who's running for office and who should you support and all of that stuff. Now, when a politician steps into our world and says something, well, I didn't go into his. He came into my world and said something. Now, there are folks who are saying, well, okay, you know, I know that Obama has this policy about illegal aliens and all that. Come on. Do you think that's a subject that I would talk about on this show? We don't, that's not, it gets mentioned either in, you know, just in passing when a guest says something. But look, or if a caller says something. But you think that would be a topic for the world's number one UFO talk show? So we're not talking about politics here tonight, and we're not talking about illegal aliens. We're talking about the president and aliens, extraterrestrials. Yeah. So you see, if you were still plugged into that sort of dough-brained mushroom thinking, I got you, didn't I? You're furious? Oh, I'll lose sleep. Okay, now, it was some time back, several months back, that I did a show where I talked about UFOs in Southeast Asia. In fact, I think it was maybe more than a year ago when I did that show, and I talked about UFOs in Southeast Asia. There's a clip out of that show, just a piece out of that show, that's on my YouTube channel. But some of you remember that show, and I talked about how General Brown, who was the chief of staff for the U.S. Air Force after Vietnam, made the statement to the press that we, the United States, had engaged UFOs in battle at least twice in Vietnam, and he mentioned we didn't call them UFOs, we called them enemy helicopters. In that show, I related the story of this battle between a UFO and some American ships. However, there was an Australian ship in the mix as well, and this Australian ship got hit. Now, I told you that I cannot confirm that it was a UFO, but it is one of the incidents mentioned by General Brown. I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But guess what we have for you tonight? Someone who was there. We're going to refer to him as Roger. That is not his real name. And we are referring to him as Roger just for privacy reasons, for his own privacy. So, Roger, welcome to the show, and I'm delighted you have been willing to come and talk with us this evening. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I went through a friend of mine that listened to your show that knew exactly what happened here.
Uh-huh.
I won't mention his name, and when I heard this, it was amazing. This has been 43 years almost since this little deal happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, let's just sort of we'll just kind of start at the beginning with this. You were in the U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
You were in Vietnam.
Yes.
At the time this happened, I'm not going to give the exact years you were there because that can help trace you down too.
Yes.
Okay, but you were there in a period of time that included this period, this battle that took place.
Yes.
And you were on board a ship.
Yes.
So that ship would have been in the South China Sea, is that correct?
Well, no, we were going up river though, I mean, with this ship. In Vietnam.
Okay.
Yeah, we were over in Vietnam, but I mean, we were going up river when all this confrontation happened.
All right. So you're on board the ship, and tell us what happened.
Well, they were yelling out on the radio. Everybody can hear on the radio just for the ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's a watch on the bridge, a watch on either wing wall up on the bridge, and two on starboard and port, and the back there was watches. Everybody's telephones are all connected together. So they said that they had two boats pull up alongside the ship, and they weren't recognized. So they got on this blowhorn, and they said, advance to be recognized. I said, well, let me show you how to recognize them. I cocked the 50. I shot without the captain's permission, okay? So because I'm in Vietnam, I'm protecting me, and I'm going home. And I didn't care what it took to get home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my dad asked me. So anyway, I shot and it went across the water, and then it went thud, 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 and it hit the water again. So I knew whatever it was, I hit it, and it was not our guys because everybody's in radio contact. It's all secret. Who knows? I thought it was Vietnam PT boats or whatever.
Okay, but you didn't see them?
No, all I saw was a flash of light now and then, and it wasn't normally what a boat looks like. Now, I had no idea what was going on here, but it didn't look like it was a little bit bigger than what I was used to seeing on the river. So like I said, they took that ship and they went up further up the river. Now, supposedly, we had a plywood box on there the next day after, I don't know, they might have crated this thing if I downed it. I don't know. I have no idea. But their ship was 47 feet wide and 510 foot long. So this box was put in that ship, in our ship, and it went up river. They took it way up river to the end of the river. You couldn't go anymore.
How big was the box?
It was, I'm going to say, 30, 40 foot square, something like that. 30 feet wide, 40 feet long. I don't know, something like that.
How tall?
8 feet tall, and it was guarded heavily with Marines and Army. They were sitting on top of the box with the M16s, and nobody could go around it. On our ship.
Okay.
Right there where we stand.
All right. I want to back up before you shot. Okay. Because we're getting a little ahead of ourselves for the audience sake here.
Okay.
Okay. Your ship is not alone. Your ship is in a group of ships.
Yeah, we're running with three other ones in that area.
Okay. And where are they? Are they going up the river too?
No, we were the third largest Navy vessel ever to go up the Saigon River. Or up the other rivers. The third largest Navy vessel ever go up those rivers.
Okay, so where are these other vessels?
They're out there at the mouth of the river, see.
Okay, so the mouth of the river is... They're sitting at the mouth of the river, but behind them is the South China Sea.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so in that group is an Australian gunboat called the Hobart.
Yeah, it's called a tin can. We call them tin cans, battle wagon, whatever.
Okay. So the Hobart is in this group. There's a merchant ship in this group too, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that normal?
Nah, not in my book it isn't. I mean, I don't know how a merchant ship can be in a war zone and get away with it. It doesn't make sense. I don't care who it belongs to. It was in a DMZ.
Okay. So you've got this you've got this merchant ship, you've got the Hobart, your ship. Were there any other ships there?
Not to my knowledge that I could see.
What about the Jersey?
Well, it was sitting out there in the bay, and it was 7 miles from the where you go into the mouth of the river.
Okay. Any
seven
other
miles
ships?
Away.
Any other ships setting out there?
Yeah, out there there was, but I didn't know the names of all of them.
Okay. So you guys get sent to go up the river. Do you know why?
No. They said there was some guns up in the mountains, like the guns in Navarone. I don't know if you ever saw that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some guns and some supply depots up there and all that. And we were to go up there and investigate. I don't know. There's a whole lot of stuff that they're not going to tell us, but that's what we did.
Okay, so now you start up the river and you see this thing coming toward you, right? You see a lights coming toward you.
At nighttime now. This is at night. This is not in the day. When but see, we were already started up in river because the tide was in. Now, that's what they tell us.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't move until the tide was in, and there was a little boat that was like guiding the way or something. I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was our guys, their guys, who. I don't know. And it went up, and then when the tide supposedly started out, going back out, we anchored there in the middle of the river.
Okay.
In the middle of going up there. We didn't make it all the first day.
Okay.
Now, that Hobart was up in there someplace. It was up, I don't know if it was on an off channel or not, because I couldn't tell. I'm on a ship, and it's dark, and they're at darkened ship. And this, all of a sudden, we see this explosion on that boat. Now, we didn't know what it was. We thought they were just hit.
Now, is this okay? Now, is this after you shot?
No, this was before.
Okay, so before you fired, you saw an explosion over at the Hobart.
Yeah, at the Hobart.
Okay.
It's an Australian battle wagon. Yeah,
yeah, those who are watching our TV channel, that is, for your information, that is the picture that I had up. That is the Hobart that you're looking at. And that is, of course, not the Hobart immediately after it got hit. This is when it was not damaged. Okay, so you saw this explosion over at the Hobart. And what did you think?
Well, I thought the enemy was getting mighty close. Now, we went to what they called, we were on 24/7 general quarters. In other words, you can't go down to your bunk or nothing. You're standing gung mount. You're standing on the 50s. You're right there at the battle. And you can't go to sleep. You can't go nothing. You bring the sea rats out or whatever and eat right there on the spot, see?
Mm-hmm.
So we were 24/7 general quarters when that happened, and they didn't let off. It stayed for weeks there at general quarters. They let us relief, take showers, grab a bite, and get back out there again. But it was pretty highly, you know, it was pretty highly dangerous at that particular time.
Okay, so you're at anchor. And you see this explosion.
Yeah.
How long after that was it before you saw lights coming toward you?
Oh. Because I thought it was PT boats?
Well, you shot at them, whatever it is you shot at.
Whatever it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know. I can't remember exactly, but it was some time anyway after that. You know,
Could you hear any noise of engines?
No noise, no nothing. It's absolutely silence, quiet, you know. Oh, no, wait, take that back. I could hear water splashing, that's all. You know, I couldn't hear, I mean, it sounded like somebody was out swimming is what it sounded like.
And was that coming from this object, or was it coming from the side of your ship with the water splashing on the side of the ship, or what?
No, it was, no, we weren't even hardly moving. Matter of fact, we were anchored. And it, it sounded like somebody swimming near that object or whatever it was.
Okay. And so you open fire on the object. You could hear the 50 caliber bullets hit the water, and then thud, the thud, thud, it hit the object, and and then you heard it hit water again.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, instantly the captain was going to court-martial me because it shot without his permission. Well, if he's not going to fight a war, get the hell out. I mean, get out, you know. We don't belong over there. And first of all, we never belonged over there anyway, but that's beside the point. They were going to court-martial me because I didn't ask permission to the captain to open fire. Well, we're in a DMZ zone, and I'm taking care of this kid. I'm going back home no matter what it takes. So they dropped the charges because I guess from this circumstances you're telling me and what you've come up with, they didn't want this thing all brought out in the newspaper, see. So if it wasn't for this, they'd have probably court-martialed me for fighting the war. So I don't know.
Okay, so the next day, this box arrives on your ship.
Yeah.
How did it arrive? By helicopter? Did a helicopter bring it in?
Yeah, they had these great big, the biggest forklifts I've ever seen in my life. Huge, massive forklifts. I mean, the tires were like 18 foot tall on these forklifts. I'd never seen that kind of equipment in my life back then, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they got that box on the boat, and they slid it inside the well deck. Now, see, we were on the landing ship dock, is what they called it. And the tailgate folds down, and they push that box in there. Then they put them guards in there. All the time they were putting in there, you couldn't even get near it. You couldn't get off. You couldn't walk around the forklift. You couldn't get near that box for nothing. I mean, they just kept us at a good distance, you know, everybody. Nobody could, except the guys that were guarding it. They were right next to that box.
Mm-hmm.
So they were carrying M16s, and it was, like I say, heavily guarded. We never did find out what was in that box.
So what happens to this box?
Well, we go up to the bridge on the river. You can't go any further. The ship is up to the bridge. They drop the tailgate. They unload this big box. And then they left this anchored there. Well, the tide had gone out. Supposedly, the tide went out. We turned around in the river, and it bent the shafts that were going up in the holds of propellers in the ship. The flukes were hitting on the bottom of the river, and it was bouncing up and down after the box was unloaded.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll come back and get the rest of that story right after this break. We'll be back, folks. Hang in there.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back. We're talking with Roger. And Roger is not his real name. We're using that name for the sake of his own privacy. And he was present and actually sort of participated in this battle with UFOs that we talked about happening in Southeast Asia. They referred to them as enemy helicopters, and for those of you who are either too young to remember or you were too mushroomed at the time to know, the enemy didn't have helicopters. And so, Roger, when we went away for break, you had said the ship you were on, you fired at this, whatever it was, coming toward your ship. You heard the impact of the bullets. And then the next day, this big box, about 30, 40 feet square, 8 feet tall, gets loaded onto your ship, and these It must have been pretty heavy because there were gigantic forklifts that were putting it on the ship. And then these guards were posted. Now, were they Marines?
There was some Marines on there, and then there was some Army. I think they were in green khakis and with flat-top hats, so I figured those were the Marines. I don't know where they came from. Those guys weren't on my boat when we were doing what we had to do.
Okay, so now the next day then, they load this box, you take it upriver,
yeah.
And you said, and we unloaded it. How did you unload it? Onto a dock somewhere? Or?
Yeah, it was like a landing, some kind of a landing up there.
Okay.
And see, that stern gate, when it goes down, it's probably, oh my, it's like 24 foot tall or something. So it reached over to the beach, and then they went in there with the forklift, pulled it out of there, see?
Uh-huh.
They didn't go all the way in, they cabled it, and this and that. But you couldn't get near it. We couldn't. You can't walk down there. You couldn't get. They had everything totally blocked off. All the catwalks on the. There was a guard there, or whatever you call them, and you could not get near the thing.
And did the guards get off with the box?
They were gone. That was the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you turned, and the ship turned around, and then turning around, bent the shafts, and had to go to the Philippines for repairs, you told me earlier when we talked. So let me ask you this. Now, you have a friend, we're not going to say his name, who was on another ship during all of this. What did he see? What has he told you that he saw?
No, he was on my ship.
Oh, he was on your ship. Okay.
Yeah, he was on my ship, too. There was another guy on my ship, too, that he saw the whole thing, too.
Mm-hmm. And something interesting happened to you as a result of the, or I think it's my opinion it's as a result, and that is that... after all of this and Vietnam is over and you come home, you were injured while you were over there.
Yeah.
And you filed for some benefits, and they said they had no record that you were ever in Vietnam. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's not benefits. It's entitlements. Everybody calls it benefits to VA, but it's entitlements.
Well, okay, whatever. But they said... that you were never in Vietnam.
Yeah, they when I went down and I filed, when I got 1969, I filed. Oh, my, yeah. Anyway, so I went down there and they told me I'd never been in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a DD-214 stating that I was a Vietnam veteran, honorable discharge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my medals were on that DD-214.
So. And so, to make a long story short, through a lot of wrangling, and I think you probably had to get a senator involved, and anyway, they finally capitulated, and you got your benefits, right? Entitlements. Okay.
Some I did, yeah.
Okay. Well, Roger, man, this is fascinating, and I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing this with us. I'll tell you, after I did that show, I got some email. I get email after every show, but I got some email from people who said that this was all hokum, it never happened, and you know, well, for those people that sent me that email, there you go. There's a witness that was on board that took some shots at something during this exchange, saw the box, don't know what was in it, but it was certainly big enough to have the standard UFO in it, wasn't it? 40 feet square, 8 feet tall, yeah.
Now, when that New Jersey came over there, they said that, like I told you, there was guns and nav rolling up in a hill or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was up in that hill, but when that New Jersey hit that place, it blew it right down to the ground, and for 3 days and three nights, that ammunition dump, and there was a hospital up there, and ammunition dump and something else was up in that mountain. And when that New Jersey got done, they leveled it right down to the ground, man. I mean, there was nothing left.
All right. Well, Roger, I want to thank you for being with us. And, man, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your wife for kind of alerting me about you being on that ship. You know, she's the one that contacted me and called me, so I thank her as well. And you folks have a great evening.
Now, how do we stay in contact with you?
Ah, well, I have a website called KevinSmithShow.com, and it's got a contact link there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks much. All right, well, there you go, folks. I told you so. And where else will you get that information? Where else? I think it's a fascinating story. One of the things, you know, I cannot verify that this was a battle with a UFO because I wasn't there. However, testimony from people who were there have said that, you know, they have said that it was a UFO and that they called UFOs in Vietnam, they referred to them as enemy helicopters, kind of a code word. The enemy didn't have helicopters. So, Roger says that he was there. Roger fired at whatever this thing was approaching the ship. The next day, a box is loaded on the ship about 30 to 40 feet square, 8 feet tall. They take it up river, offload it, heavily guarded. I don't know. Draw your own conclusions. But the battle happened, and the Hobart was hit during this battle. What was it hit by? Was it hit by friendly fire? Perhaps airplanes that were firing at a UFO and their missiles missed and hit the Hobart? Is that possible? Well, that's one of the theories, and one of the theories is that it was friendly fire, even though there was no UFO. I mean, one of the theories doesn't have a UFO in it, and it's just friendly fire. So I don't know. It was a huge thing, and kind of got swept under the rug. But then we heard about it, right? And you know what happens when we hear about it. All right, now the rest of the show tonight. I want us to do something that I really debated this. I know for sure that because I have brought up the president, there are people who are instantly right up on the razor's edge of politics. Now look, if I say the Pope burped, that's not religious. It's just a statement of fact about a guy who is religious, but it has nothing to do with religion, right? Just because we might say something or talk something about the president, this one or any other president, doesn't mean that we're talking politics, and we're not going to. And what we're going to talk about is something having to do with extraterrestrials. But the president stepped into our world with some statements that he has made. He stepped into our arena with his statements, some statements that he's made, and I'm talking about the current president. President Barack Obama has made some statements that are in our arena, and we're going to take a look at that. So when we do open up the phone lines, which we are going to do, I want to warn you, if you call in and go political, either for or against the president, If you're for him, be for him. If you're against him, be against him, but not on the air. If you start talking politics, I won't warn you. I will just hang up, even if you're my mother. Okay? This is about extraterrestrials. It's just that a guy who happens to be a politician made some statements, and they got reported, and that's what we're going to focus on. I don't want this to disintegrate into he's a great president, or he's a lousy president, or we've got to reelect Barack Obama, or my God, we can't reelect Barack Obama. I don't do that. Some of you are Ron Paul supporters, and you sneak in statements. I will cut you off. Who I support? Kevin. Okay? Do not try it. Do not try to sneak in support for Ron Paul, or support for Romney, or support for Santorum, or support for Barack Obama, or support for Minnie Mouse or Mickey Mouse. Okay? It's not going to devolve into politics. I'm not going to let that happen. Now, some of you have been around long enough to remember when I had a duel with a former astronaut who absolutely insisted on trying to talk politics when that's not what we had agreed we would talk about. And it ended up with him hanging up and then acting like a child 26 minutes into the show. So, believe me, I don't want this to go political, okay? Each and every president since I've been alive has had a barrage of public requests, people in the public requesting information about UFOs. The president, when I first became conscious that there was a president, was President Ike Eisenhower. He had a barrage of requests from the public about UFOs. And every president since then has had a barrage of questions from the public about UFOs. We have had some presidents who have said they'll release the information. I'm still waiting. I'm 58 years old, and I'm still waiting for any president to keep that promise. Several have made it. None have kept it. And our current president has made a statement that has several things in it that are really interesting along those lines. So we're going to take a look at those when we come back. Welcome back, and you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and we are about to talk about the president and aliens. If you're interested in the president and illegal aliens, you need to go to another radio show. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about extraterrestrial aliens. And It does focus on Barack Obama sort of at the beginning, but then it spreads out to any president, all presidents, past and future. But here is what has prompted my interest in this. The president, the current president, Barack Obama, went to, I think it's pronounced Malhamar, and that is in New Mexico. Now, it may be Maljamar. But if it's got the Spanish pronunciation, it will be Malhamar. And he went there to make a speech about energy and about his energy policy. And when he got off the plane and started greeting people, actually got off the helicopter, Marine One, and started greeting people, He said, I announced to people when I landed that I come in peace. Just kind of, you know, a lighthearted joke about being near Roswell. It's only about 50 miles from Roswell. And he started out by saying, well, I announced to people when I arrived, when I landed, that I come in peace. And then he said, let me tell you, there are 9 and 10-year-old boys. When I meet them, they ask, have you been to Roswell? And is it true what they say? And I tell them, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And you know, their eyes get all big. And then here's the clincher. I mean, all of that is lighthearted, and it's just kind of, you know, a lighthearted reference to being near Roswell. And I don't read anything into that. I think it is what it is. But then, the clincher is this statement. We're going to keep our secrets here. That's what he said. He said, we're going to keep our secrets here. Again, that may have just been lighthearted banter, but you see, it is a president who is addressing, even if lightheartedly, the issue of extraterrestrial presence. Now, again, I said, we don't want to focus on that it's Obama. Because any president could have said that. It's the point. The point is, it is the president who said that. And so when I do open the phone lines, again, please, I do not want any political stuff. That's not what this is about. This is about presidents and the secrecy around UFOs. It happens that our current president made this statement, but that's just our jumping off point. This statement, we're going to keep our secrets here. You know, it may have been just lighthearted, but it seems also to be a statement of fact, doesn't it? We have had a lot of promises from various presidents that they're going to look into the Roswell thing. They're going to look into what does the government know about UFOs and about extraterrestrials, and they're going to release that to the people. We've had presidents that have said they would. Now, some, I mean, we'll give credit where credit is due. Jimmy Carter, when he was president, or should I say Jimmy Carter, when he was president, there were a lot of documents that did get released, formerly classified documents that did get released that have to do with UFOs. However, they are heavily redacted. Some of those documents, there would be 3, 4, 5 words on a page that didn't get blacked out, and everything else was blacked out. Most of the documents were heavily redacted. Yet, with, you know, give credit where credit's due, that's more than we have gotten from any of these others. But I mean, George W. Bush said he would do it. He didn't do it. Jimmy Carter said he would do it, and he actually didn't, although there were some, an argument can be made that there were some documents, a lot of documents released, heavily redacted, but that, you know, if you black out most of the page, well, you're not releasing information, you're just releasing paper. Bill Clinton said he tried to find out, and we know that he and Hillary were quite interested in the topic, and he said he tried to find out, but he also has gone on record publicly stating that he thinks that the Roswell crash was not extraterrestrial, and he said that he's convinced of that. So we've got this thing where we have politicians, which should not be a surprise to anybody, promising that they are going to release information, and then they don't. Now, early on, when Barack Obama had just been elected, I had a guest here on the show, in fact, two different guests, who said they believe that Barack Obama would be the disclosure president, and they gave me all these reasons why. And I just kept remembering, and I brought this up on the air, that he was asked that question by a reporter. You can find this. It's still on YouTube, but you better look fast. YouTube and Google are sweeping and cleaning and cleansing anything that they think is ticklish or, you know, a little bit sensitive for the president. They're getting rid of it. They're censoring your internet. That I will talk about any time and every time I decide to talk about it. Google and, of course, YouTube is part of Google. They are sweeping and censoring your internet. Now, I remember when he was asked, I remember when Barack Obama was asked about this, and he was asked, you know, if it were made clear to you, if it became part of what you are told, it's your briefing, that there are extraterrestrials, would you release that information to the American people? And his response was, well, it would depend on several things. It would depend on, you know, whether they were hostile or whether they were nice extraterrestrials, and it would depend on whether they're Republicans or Democrats. See, that doesn't sound at all, and that's a very loose paraphrase. That's not an exact quote, but that's close. But that doesn't sound like a disclosure president, does it? And that was during the campaign. And so when they were telling me on the air, these guests, that he was going to be the disclosure president, I brought that up, and they swept it under the carpet with, oh, well, you know, that's during a campaign. They have to be careful what they say and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, now we have seen that disclosure hasn't happened, and here we have the president saying, we're going to keep our secrets here, meaning right here at Roswell. They were near Roswell where he said this. We're going to keep our secrets here. Again, perhaps this was just part of his lighthearted joking. But the point is, it happens. That is what happens. Disclosure doesn't happen. And it really doesn't matter whether a president says he's going to disclose or doesn't say that. Either way, they don't. Either way, it doesn't matter. No matter if they say, yes, I am going to get to the bottom of this and I am going to disclose it to the American people and the world. Doesn't matter if they say that. It isn't going to happen. They don't do it. So, here is a dilemma. And the dilemma is that we are allegedly a country ruled by the will of the people, governed by the will of the people. Nothing could be clearer what the will of the people is on this, and yet it doesn't happen. We'll be back right after this break, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. Boy, I tell you what, in that first hour, the one you missed, well, you just need to catch it in the archives. surprise testimony from a surprise witness about a UFO battle. Pretty interesting stuff, huh? So here's what we're doing now. We're talking about the president and aliens. The president and extraterrestrials. Not illegal aliens. Don't call me with that. I'll cut you off. I don't want to seem rude, but I want you to know I've been through this. I've been doing this 11 years. I know how this goes, and if I don't rule this with an iron fist, it's going to go political. And I'm not going to have that, okay? We're going to stay focused on the president, whoever that may be, at any time, and extraterrestrials. The current president, for those of you who are just now tuning in, the current president has just made some comments about this sort of thing out near Roswell, New Mexico. And he said, we're going to keep our secrets. I'm going to keep our secrets here. We're going to keep our secrets here. Something like that. Let me see what he said. We're going to keep our secrets here. Now, he was kind of engaging in some sort of joking with the crowd he was speaking to. And he was talking about Roswell and, you know, and the kids ask him, you know, have you been to Roswell? Is it true what they say? And he says, well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And then he said, we're going to keep our secrets here. And the point is this, even if that was joking, that is what happens. Even if the politician running for the presidency says, if I'm elected, I will get to the bottom of this, and whatever I can find out, we're going to release that to the people. Even if he says that, it never happens. Now, here's the question. The question is, one, does that imply, when he says we're going to keep the secrets here, does that imply that they do know the secrets? I think it does. Does it imply that these are secrets that, since they're going to keep them and they're never going to tell us, that these are secrets that may possibly be dangerous to us in some way? I can't imagine how, but what do you think about that? And then the third thing, do you think we're ever going to get a president who keeps that promise? Now, this president, in fairness to Mr. Obama, did not promise he was going to find out and disclose anything about UFOs and extraterrestrials. To the best of my knowledge, he never promised that. I do know he was asked the question. I talked about that earlier. But he never promised that he was going to do that. Some have, and they have not kept that promise. So what do you think? Are we ever going to have a president ever who has promised that he's going to disclose and then keeps the promise? Do you think that will happen? And I guess sort of as a sideline to this, do you think he was joking? It's hard to tell. You know, you read an article, it's hard to tell whether somebody's joking or, you know, if they're serious. Now, we can tell at the early part of that, he's kind of in a joking mood. He's kind of joking about it, but when he made that last statement, was he joking? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I understand I'm just an observer.
Aren't we all?
Go back. What?
Aren't we all?
Yeah. I will go back to Eisenhower's farewell address.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the power for what we want to call disclosure does not lie with any political vanity. It is with the industrialists behind the military-industrial complex. The politicians may mean well, but once they've been in office a while, they realize no matter how much they know, they can't say anything or risk their lives. That's my opinion.
So you think that if a president stepped up to the microphone and did disclosure, that...
You'd have to go into hiding awful quick.
So why? Who is it that's going to kill him?
It's my opinion is that he wouldn't do it any. There's no president that would do it anyway because it would threaten their positions, their political power. But the people who would be threatened by it are the industrialists.
Why would they be threatened by it, Brent? Yeah, why would they be threatened?
Because they hold the secrets, and if any politician were to disclose it, they would say, these are the people who have been hiding this from you, and these are the reasons why.
Okay. Well, those people are already identified as scoundrels in the public mind anyway, and those are people that are already rather resoundingly hated by the masses of the population.
I agree completely. But like I put on your Facebook page today, I have a feeling Robert McDonald may have been chipped, and it may not be just for monitoring. They want to give, if he crosses them again, he could die a very painful death that would intimidate and try to intimidate a lot of people from coming forward. That's how they rule with fear. They don't want disclosure.
All right, so let me ask you, why do you think it is they don't want disclosure? How does it hurt them?
They want the power. They have the free energy. They have all this stuff that could get us off of oil. They just don't want it out because I hate to say they're in cahoots with them, but they have a vested interest in keeping us a slave to oil. That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, you might be right, and I certainly I don't disagree with what you said.
You don't agree with it, but you don't disagree with it. Yeah, I understand.
No. I think I do agree with it. I can't prove it. That's the thing. But I think I do. My opinion is that, yeah, they want us to continue to be slaves to the petroleum products because they're making billions of dollars off of it.
It's not only that, but they realize, now I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they realize that money is a fiction, that they are using it to control the masses. Mm-hmm. They want that power.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they can do something to hold on to that power, they're not going to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, the hope is, for all of us, death is the great equalizer. They won't escape it. There's not a single person that's going to escape their appointment with death.
I know.
And at that point, none of their money and power is going to matter. When it's time to die, they're checking out of here.
That's true. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. Bye. 623-444-5889 is our telephone number. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature. But you have to be outside the USA, outside of Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, give us a call, all right? And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. First of all, I want to say that I agree a lot with what Brent just said. And I personally don't think we're ever going to get disclosure. And to answer your question, your first question was, I believe, that does this statement that Obama said imply that he knows secrets? And I would say yes, as you said, that is true. And I forget your other question.
Okay, do you think he was joking?
It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter because whether he's joking or not, you're never going to get the truth. So you can take it however you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now if we replaced Obama with any previous president, we would have the same situation, regardless of even if some of those previous presidents promised they would do disclosure, and didn't. So we'd have the same thing. So let's go to the future.
Same thing in the future, Kevin. No matter who gets in there, they can promise whatever they want to pre-election and stuff, and then once they get in the office, they won't be able to get there unless the president had George Patton's army right behind him and went up to these military installations and just forced his way in, and then it would be a bloodbath, and he still wouldn't have it. But the situation is the president is a figurehead. There's a sinister cabal that controls the whole world, not just the United States.
Okay, do we know who this sinister cabal is?
It's just like Captain McDonald is talking yesterday, and you had the CIA involved in getting those the death threats and stuff.
Well, now wait a minute. We don't know that it's CIA.
Well, he said that the IPs or something went back to
Langley, but there's an Air Force base there too.
I jumped to the assumption that it was the CIA.
Yeah, I don't know that it was CIA.
I understand.
Yeah.
I would say you asked me who was involved in it, and I would say rogue elements of the CIA, the bankers the first caller, his name just slipped my mind, alluded to, and all the ruling parties.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it odd that if you take all of the alleged powerful people and all the alleged rich people here on this planet and you put them in one group and you put everybody else on the other side of the room, there's way more people on the other side of the room, and yet they are getting ruled by this handful?
Well, you know what? It's like you said, there people are more involved with what Lindsay Lohan's doing and stuff like that. And then when it comes to control, you go back to the concentration camp, and you can have a small number of guards controlling a very large population.
Yeah. So then what you're saying is we are essentially already in prison.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a prison planet. Mm-hmm. You've had guests say that, and I think there is evil ET involvement with this sinister cabal. And you said, what was people be... one of the questions you proposed was, what would the president be afraid of disclosing? And mm-hmm. I think if when Eisenhower supposedly had the ET agreement where they were abducting people, and then they finally found out that the ETs weren't living up to their end of the bargain, it was just a one-way deal. We never... I think they got in there. Once the ETs got in... that it just disintegrated the whole organization.
All right. Well, Jerome, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your thoughts on that. Interesting perspectives, and, you know, you might be right on that.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. You know, as I said, the president... just to mention something that the president has said doesn't mean that this is political. Of course, it depends on what it is he said and in what context. But this is a case where the president sort of walked into our arena and said some things. And they were quite interesting things that he said, especially that last one. We're going to keep our secrets here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Kevin. Well, let's see, where to begin. First of all, I don't believe we will ever have a president that will disclose anything about extraterrestrial presence here, mostly because I think that their presence is above his pay grade. You know, we like to think of the president as being the top dog in this country. As far as I'm concerned, he's my top employee. You know, it is the citizen, the individual citizen is the top dog in this country. And if there's going to be some disclosure, I want that alien to come to me and disclose himself. You know, so if that professional politician who gets himself into office tells me one thing or another, you know, I still want verification. And then another question is he joking when he said we're going to keep our secrets? Oh, this president has a lot of secrets, but I'm not going to go there and get political on you now.
You already did, but don't do it again. Here's the deal. Every president is keeping secrets.
Oh, that's a fact. That's the truth, Kevin. So you know, I don't think the president will be the right source for disclosure anyway.
Let me ask you this: what would be the right source?
I think it would have to be the aliens themselves that would need to reveal their own presence. I think that's how it would have to happen. And I'd also like to echo some of what both Brent and Jerome have said, that you know, there's a huge element of truth in what both of them are saying.
Mm-hmm.
We, through our educational system from childhood up, have been trained not to dig too deep, not to think too clearly, and not to ask a lot of the right questions ourselves, not to open our own eyes to see evidence that's right before us. I think if we want evidence of alien presence, I think we need to open our own eyes, become our own source of truth, and I think it would probably come through private individuals. You know, we ourselves would be the disclosers.
All right, now let me ask you this. One of the reasons it was given for why people thought that this would be the disclosure president, and I'm talking about when we had guests here on the show talking about that. This is right after Mr. Obama was elected, and I've had guests on the show who were almost beside themselves, giddy, big name guest, beside themselves, just almost giddy because this would be the disclosure president. And one of the reasons they gave is because he had John Podesta on his staff, and John Podesta is on record. In fact, I have the video of him making the statement in the National Press Club that it is time for disclosure, and this was years ago. Time for the government to disclose what it knows about UFOs. Frankly, the American people can handle it, and frankly, because it's the law. All right, so there's John Podesta actually saying, there's no question, he said that. We've got the video of it. He said it, and he's on the president's staff. And so they were saying, well, you know, this is another indication that, you know, he intends to disclose. You know what? If everybody on his staff were pro-disclose, if they were for it, that has no bearing on whether he would do it or not.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree, because his staff aren't the ones pulling the strings. You know, there are people way above all of them that are pulling the strings. Now, I can understand combining John Podesta's statement with Mr. Obama's claim that he will be the transparent president, you know, that everything will be wide open, everything will be out in the open. You know, that was part of his campaign promise.
Yeah, they all say that.
I suppose if you combine those two things, then that you would jump into that hope. you know, but as we know, things turned out not to be that way at all. I remember President Reagan saying in front of the United Nations that he thinks that the one thing that would cause nations to surrender their differences and unite, you know, would be war with extraplanetary threat. I remember Jimmy Carter saying something about coming clean with aliens. I remember John Kennedy being a big space guy, and we thought he was going to come clean.
Well, and George W. said he was going to do it. He was asked that during the campaign, and are you going to disclose to the American people the truth about UFOs and extraterrestrials? And he said yes during his campaign.
But the bottom line, Kevin, is I think that the presence of extraterrestrials and their involvement with the powers that be is way above the president's pay grade. So he can say what he wants to say. Any of them can say what they want to say in their campaigns, but you know, there are people that pull their strings.
Yeah.
And once they get in office, they meet reality, and that's sometimes a pretty sharp slap in the face.
Yeah, they find out they're not really the most powerful man in the world.
Oh, ain't it the truth?
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I appreciate the call. Good thoughts, good perspective. And let me ask you this before you go. What would it take, do you think, for a president to actually finally make the decision to do it and do it? What would it take to cause that to happen?
I think it would take an alien standing in front of him saying, "Now it's time. Lights, camera, action." I think that's what it would take.
All right. Steve, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I tend to agree with that. It would probably take something just about like that before a president would go in front of the camera and say, guess what? All right, caller, if you will, hang on. We have a break coming up. Are you willing to hang on?
Yes.
All right. In the meantime, be sure you turn down your radio back there because we can hear me in the background. All right, folks, we have a break coming up, and you know what's under discussion here is not politics. It happens to be a politician that made the statement to kick this off, but he walked into our arena. It's not us going over into his arena of politics. So let's remember to keep it non-political completely, and we're talking about presidents and extraterrestrials. All right, we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
You are indeed listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Hello, Tony.
How are you, sir?
Outstanding.
Good. Good to hear from you. I mean, talk to you. As far as presidents go, disclosure has already been made by a president.
Who was that?
Truman, April 52.
Well, he said they, you know, that they are looking into UFOs.
He said that these craft are not from anybody here on Earth.
Truman said that?
Yes.
That's a statement I had not heard. I do have a film clip of Truman saying, "Oh yeah, we talk about UFOs all the time." He's talking about with his Joint Chiefs of Staff, talk about UFOs
right.
all the time and all that. But I had not heard that he said they're not from here.
Yes, he said I was just looking for it, and I haven't found it yet. I thought I had it in my favorites, but he said that they are real and that they are not from Earth.
Now, is this a video clip or is this just a, if you find that, I want you to email me that, just attach it to an email and send it to me.
Will do.
Yeah, because that is blockbuster if he said that.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
I remember seeing it.
All right.
So I just don't know why nobody ever refers to it anymore.
Well, you know, with the passage of time, see, I remember Truman. He was not the president that I remember first. The first president that I remember is Dwight Eisenhower. I was a little bitty kid.
Me too.
Okay, but Truman was still alive. And he was quite a character. Truman didn't care who was listening, and whatever he wanted to say, he would say it, and he used rather spicy language when he talked. Lots of profanity, and he didn't care who was listening. So it certainly would not be out of character for Truman to have come clean and just said that. You know, that's the kind of guy he was. He said what he wanted to say, and everybody else could run for cover, but he was going to say what he wanted to say. So if you find that, please send it to me. I would love to have that, and I certainly will feature that in our TV show.
I certainly can't remember verbatim what he said, but he did say that I believe it was right after that speech that he was talking about is that they talk about it at every meeting or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said that we do know that they are not from Earth or they're interplanetary craft or something like that, but it is actual disclosure. He does say that they're not from Earth.
Well, let me tell you, if you find it, be sure and send it to me, because it is going to disappear from the internet now.
Maybe it has. Maybe that's why I can't find it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're sweeping the internet, they're cleaning things out.
And I can't find it.
All inconvenient truths are being cleaned out of the internet now by Google and YouTube. And if it's too inconvenient, it's disappearing.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call. Did you have another comment?
Kevin.
Yeah, did you have another comment or question?
No, that's it for
okay.
Now.
All right, thanks very much. 623-444-5889. You know, we have talked about this before, this whole thing of presidents and disclosure. And we've talked about it on many occasions. It's just that our current president wandered into our arena with his statements that he made out near Roswell. And it brings the subject up again. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Mikhail Gorbachev said that UFOs are real.
Uh-huh.
There's been several people, key leaders that have said it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, you know, how many times does the public need to be told that UFOs are real before people will believe it?
Oh, well, you know, the general public are hopeless anyway. Mushrooms. There are people that get angry with me when I say that, but that's a fact. Right now, the main things on the minds of the general public, for those who are younger, party time, you know, beer and drinks, and guys chasing girls, girls chasing guys, and what's the next new app and the next new game. And then for those who are a little bit older, it's how am I going to pay the mortgage this month, and what am I going to do when electricity goes up 40% over the next 20 days and when gasoline hits $10 a gallon. Those are very real concerns. But they're so muddled with that, they don't think about anything else, and so I don't even worry about whether they believe in UFOs or not. I don't believe in them.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, we've already had mass sightings. Look at Phoenix, look at Stevensville. Everybody says I'm waiting for the mothership to show up. Well, it already has. And people, the problem is most people are just in a daze and they don't care. They just go along their merry way. They don't have an interest. And, you know, it's, if a UFO landed on the White House lawn and the aliens got out, most of the people in our society would just not even pay attention because they don't care. They just want to go to the ball game, and that's the problem, mm-hmm. I think. It's not whether the president or somebody has a press conference.
Well, I understand that, but this president made a statement. He already made a statement. We're going to keep the secrets here. Okay,
yeah,
now, do you think he was joking?
I think that last phrase, you know, I think he was pretty much joking around most of the time, but that last sentence is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You can interpret it several different ways. You can interpret it as, we're going to keep secrets here, meaning there's secrets in New Mexico, or you can interpret it as in saying, we're going to keep secrets here.
Yeah.
Sort of like, this is a national security thing, we're going to keep secrets here. That's like when Dick Cheney was asked by Grant Cameron. Have you heard that before?
Well, I watched it.
Yeah, and he said, this is national security, I don't recall being briefed. If I had, it would be classified. Well, he's just admitting that there's a secret there.
Yeah.
National security. If UFOs are not real, they wouldn't have a secret.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and but see, that's interesting, isn't it? Because the Air Force has said that they're not investigating UFOs, which we know that's a lie. They do. And we can document that they do. But... they've said we're not investigating UFOs anymore, and whatever they are, they're not a national security concern.
Yeah, it's silly.
Then you have Cheney saying, if I had been briefed, it would be classified, and I wouldn't be talking about it.
But I agree with the last callers that there's a government within a government, that's a secret government that has all the answers that the president's are only told a little bit. Does anybody know this story? And I urge everybody to go to Grant Cameron's website, presidentialufo.com, and read through the research he's done. One story is when Clinton was president, he asked the CIA director to tell him about what happened at Roswell. Well, they went and got Bruce McAbee to brief the CIA on UFOs. And I thought that was interesting because the guy's name was...
Yeah, we can barely hear you.
Okay, my phone is low. I will free up the line, but, you know, I agree with the last callers that that the presidents are not really in the know, and they have to have a need to know. If they don't have a need to know, then they're pretty much told very little, if nothing at all, and that's the problem.
I want to thank you for the call, and that brings up a whole new perspective, doesn't it? Thanks, Ryan. New perspective, and that is, what are the presidents told? Are they told? Are they briefed? And if so, how much are they told? You know, apparently Reagan was told quite a lot, but what about the others? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Jeff from Montreal. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff.
Good. Thank you for taking out my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to thank the other callers, the very astute callers. I made some excellent salient points this evening. And I'd like to answer your question, do I think that we will have a president keep a promise or, you know, disclosure in the future? I answer that simply by saying, when have we ever had a politician ever keep a promise? Do I think he was joking? I think... yes, in a very coy way, he was joking. I would respond to that by saying many presidents are out of the loop. as was the governor from Arizona, Fife Symington, who demonstrated his great leadership when he was the governor of Arizona. When the American people sought answers to the Phoenix Lights, he responded in a very derogatory manner. But we've had UFOs fly over Washington, D.C. Your callers are right about Truman making statements about UFOs. He once quipped that, "I can assure you that flying saucers, given that they exist, are not constructed by any power on Earth." President John F. Kennedy said, "The U.S. Air Force assures me that UFOs pose no threat to national security."
Mm-hmm.
There are many. Gerald Ford said things like, "I strongly recommend that there be a committee investigation of the UFO phenomena. I think we owe it to the people to establish credibility regarding UFOs and to produce the greatest possible enlightenment on this subject." President Jimmy Carter in 1976 said, "I don't laugh at people anymore when they say they've seen UFOs. I've seen one myself." Ronald Reagan said he looked out the window and saw this white light. It was zigzagging around. He went up to the pilot and said, "Have you ever seen anything like that?" He was shocked, and he said, "Nope." And I said to him, "Let's follow it." We followed it for several minutes. It was a bright white light. We followed it to Bakersfield, and all of a sudden, to our utter amazement, it went straight up into the heavens. When I got off the plane, I told Nancy all about it. This is when he was talking to veteran newsman Norman C. Miller, Washington bureau chief of the Wall Street Journal. Reagan saying, "I think about how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And I ask you, does this threat not already exist?" And your last caller, with regard to Mikhail Gorbachev, said the phenomenon of UFOs does exist, and it must be treated seriously. Richard Nixon, I'll leave it at this, Kevin, said, "I'm not at liberty to discuss the government's knowledge of extraterrestrial UFOs at this time. I'm still personally being briefed on the subject."
Okay. So let's assume that this statement by President Obama was a joke, but does it also reveal the truth? And that is, there are secrets about this, and we are going to keep them.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's a national security apparatus that has secrets for national defense. And
yeah, but about UFOs.
Pardon me?
Yes, that's true, but specifically about UFOs. Is he admitting we have secrets about UFOs and we're going to keep them?
Yes, I think so, absolutely. In a coy way, in a sly way, he's saying that to the American public.
All right, Jeff, hang on. We have a break taking over. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, that means we have only a few minutes left in tonight's show. And on the telephone with us is Jeff from Montreal. And, Jeff, we had to cut you off in mid-sentence there because of the break. But as I understand it, your opinion is that there's never going to be an official disclosure, but that there have been little dribbles of disclosure from many presidents. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that would be better. But we don't need disclosure anyway. We've got the Kevin Smith Show.
You're right. But something has happened to your audio. Yeah, we can barely hear you now. I don't know what's happened. So, but I did hear you say we don't need disclosure. We have the Kevin Smith Show. Is that right? We've lost him. He's back there in the background somewhere. I don't know what's happened. Jeff, sorry. We can't hear you now. Okay. Sorry, I don't know what happened. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I'm sorry, your first name and where are you calling from? Okay.
Have you ever done a show on the United States Federal Code on NASA policy?
No, I have not done a show on that. If you're talking about the law they used to have, making it illegal to have alien contact with aliens, I did.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that was repealed. So that's no longer a law.
It seems like the policy is still in place.
Yeah, well, that particular law, though, was repealed. However, with all these new laws that are on the books now, like the NDAA that just passed, all they have to do is say, uh-oh, you're talking about something national security, and then they can come pick you up, and you can be disappeared into, you know, they can... I phrase it this way. They can Guantanamo you. They can make you disappear into one of their secret prisons and hold you indefinitely, forever.
Yeah, and their word was quarantine.
Mm-hmm. And listen, our equipment must have been the problem right there at the beginning. There was a little short or something, and I didn't hear your first name. Who am I speaking to?
This is Greg from Washington.
Okay, Greg. Now, that's from Washington State?
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah, they can quarantine you. That's a euphemism. That means they can hold you in, they can put you in prison. And they can hold you without trial, and they can hold you indefinitely. No charges,
now,
no trial.
In that law, if your wife had any information, she could be deemed quarantined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if she went to a judge, and the judge tried to order the information be released, he could be held in contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like a lot of that is still in play.
Yeah. Okay. Well, apparently our telephone equipment is acting up. We'll have to get that fixed here in the next 24 hours. But, Greg, I want to thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that's very real. Very real. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Mario. I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Hello, Mario.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good. What's on your mind this evening?
I don't want to talk about UFOs tonight. I just want to talk about those strange sounds.
Ooh.
People have been hearing all over the place.
Okay, tell you what. We're almost at the end of the show. I'll go ahead and do that. Normally, I would tell you to call us on open line night, but, you know, that... What do you think those big sounds are?
I really don't know, but yesterday around 10:15, I was watching TV and I heard a big rumble like a jet going over my house. And I lowered the TV, you know, because it was so loud. And I stepped outside to see if there was any plane. But I didn't get to hear the, you know, like the Doppler sound, you know, from the planes.
Uh-huh.
You heard these huge rumble, like the one you hear on YouTube for a long time, for like 3 minutes, and then it started fading away. And to reconfirm this, I talked to a friend of mine who lives about 4 miles from here, and I asked him, I said, he heard something strange. Yeah, I was watching TV, he said, and I feel that room vibrating. I thought it was my neighbor starting off his truck, and looked through the window, and there was no truck there. I stepped outside, and I can hear that, you know, like a plane going over, but I can see no planes. And it stood there for like 3 or 4 minutes and faded away. So, and I could recover with another person, but that'll make it too long already. You're out of time right now.
Well, now, wait a minute. I got a couple of minutes left, and I got a question or two here. All right, so let me ask you this. Has there been anything about this on the news in San Antonio?
Not that I know of it.
Okay, now, because your name is Mario, and because you're in San Antonio, do you speak Spanish?
Yes, I do.
All right. Do you watch Spanish language news programs on TV? Because sometimes they report things that the English channels won't report. So have you watched?
Yes, I know that.
Yeah. So and what about it? Have they reported anything about it?
No, I didn't get to watch the news that night. You know, it was strange because I can tell when it's a plane, when it's not a plane. This one, you know, you sound all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talking about UFOs, I know they exist. I witnessed one in 1982. I don't know if you ever saw the movie with Jeff Bridges, Starman.
Yeah, Starman, yeah.
Identical. Same thing. It was huge. It was probably about a mile away from the house, and I was in Mexico. It was over the ocean. And I saw a little ball just like it come around the back on each side and run around the city, back inside, and just took off like nothing.
Wow. And that, now, when you were in Mexico, was that...
It was not the moon, it was bigger than the moon.
Was that near Mexico City?
No, it was in Tampico.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I got some other, my brother-in-law, they work at the oil fields, you know, offshore on the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And there's a well-known place where lights go in and out of that little area. And that area is prohibited for navigation by the Mexican government.
Mm-hmm.
And one time my brother-in-law was talking to one of the scuba divers. And he said, how come they don't let anybody go to there? He said, man, I was doing some repairs in the ship underneath. It was a welder. I said, and I looked down, and it looks like a city. Like if you were flying on a plane, you can see a bunch of lights right underneath the ocean.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's fantastic. Mario, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you, because we're almost out of time, would you give me a call during the daytime tomorrow and let's talk about all of this? It sounds like you've got a lot of information I'd like to get.
Not a problem. What time, or let's give me an idea.
Anytime tomorrow.
That same number?
Same number.
Okay, I will.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, folks, wow, what a way to end the show. That's going to be interesting. All right, well, there you go, folks. That's it for tonight. Again, some blockbuster information right at the beginning of the show. We brought you a witness from that battle that everybody was, not everybody, a bunch of people were saying it never even happened. Brought you a witness who actually fired on the approaching object. And at least I got us to thinking about again the president and aliens. Not just this president, any president. All right. That's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.